This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Kusu Chuang, and it's time to look at global markets. The U.S. Federal Reserve has said its commitment to normalize monetary policy after a decade of low to zero interest rates. However, in Europe and Japan, rates remain fairly low because their economies are not growing as fast as that of the U.S. On the line is Mikio Kumada, global strategist with LGT Capital Partners in Hong Kong. Good morning, Mikio. Thank you so much for joining us. First question, how do you see this, divergent global growth story?
Good morning. I think the divergence is still there, but it's diminishing. It's diminishing because we now roughly know where the Fed wants to go, where it wants to end up. We know that it's actually now quite close to what it considers the neutral long-term rate. So as long as they don't raise that, I think the end of the road is visible. That's why it's not a major concern as long as the economy is continues to do well, and it is for the time being. While on the other hand, so we know that where the Fed is going to end up, it's at around 3%, basically. Whereas the other countries are starting to, especially the Europeans, are starting to think about the exit. So I think the divergence is still there to some extent, but it's diminishing, which should stabilize also the currencies, meaning that the dollar may not be as strong as recent strength would suggest if you take a slightly longer term perspective, let's say a year or more.
Mikio, what kind of time frame do you think Europe will need before starting to tighten again? And if and when that happens, as and when that happens, what do you think will be the impact on asset prices in the Eurozone?
Well, they have suggested September to be, you know, the first beginnings maybe of the of their normalization policy, at least the tapering. But in terms of withdrawing the or ending the purchases, but my take would be that they'd be rather cautious. So I would certainly expect them to begin at the end of the year, but they will do it very gradually, more gradually than people think at the moment, I think.
So if that happens, Mikio, are you looking at European assets? And if so, which one in particular?
Well, I do think that if they do it right, as we saw in the U.S., this need not disrupt it. This will not disrupt the European equity markets per se. Of course, the question right now is the more related to the trade regime that we have globally. And that is an issue to watch. But, you know, if the trade issue doesn't escalate further, I think the ECB has is on the right path by its cautious approach in terms of communicating and starting the tightening.
No, you're right, Mikio. I think yesterday Jerome Powell, the Fed chair, suggested that if the trade spat were to accelerate, then it might harm American growth prospects. But there's a school of thought that suggests that the Trump narrative on the trade spat with China is mere posturing that he's actually holding. He's playing poker, essentially, and he wants more protection, say, for intellectual property rights. What's your sense? What does the market think?
IP. I agree to some extent with that. The thing is, you know, the issue, especially on IP, intellectual property, is an issue that is widely shared, not just by the U.S., but, you know, virtually all major countries, major economies have that issue with China. And China knows this, of course, because this is not a new topic. It's a discussion that's been going on for years. The question with Trump is exactly what you mentioned, is the posturing and the method he has chosen to address this. Unilateral strong arming, I don't think it's the right way to go. It basically improves the prospects for other countries to find separate solutions with China, which ultimately weakens the U.S. position. So while there is an issue there with China to discuss and to resolve in a cooperative way, the way the U.S. does it is counterproductive, especially for the U.S. itself.
Mikio, what do you make of leaders either in Beijing or in Europe, Canada and Mexico are now, of course, renegotiating NAFTA as well? Do you think they kind of understand the Trump mind and are playing it right?
I think everybody's trying to do the best with President Trump. I'm not sure anybody can read his mind. And I'm also not sure whether that's the right way to go. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you can read his mind or not. At the end of the day, the core policy approach of looking at trade as a zero-sum game is wrong. What is important is for the other countries, they have to, of course, keep talking with the U.S. and trying to solve issues because they have agreements and he's the president of the United States. But what is important is to keep focusing on multilateralism, on trade, wherever possible. You mentioned NAFTA. As you know, both Canada and Mexico are members of the TPP. So while they have issues with the U.S., the U.S. is not the only trading bloc and trading nation out there. They still go ahead and forge new trade agreements with other regions and other countries. Another recent example is the EU-Japan free trade agreement that was just signed earlier this week. So I think the other countries can go ahead and cooperate on trade while they're trying to resolve or at least buy some time with their issues with the U.S.
Yeah, Mikhail, U.S. corporate earnings season now in full swing. So far, mixed picture, I think, but enough to send U.S. shares back towards, I think, January highs. Are you looking for these numbers? And if so, which kind of counters?
Well, we are looking, of course, at the earnings season, and I think the earnings seasons will be good enough since the economy is quite strong and expectations, you know, given the strength of the economy, are reasonable. The issue that we have here is less to do with the corporate earnings picture as it is now, but it has to do with the corporate earnings picture, you know, a year or so down the road, when and if we have an escalation of the trade situation, because higher tariffs ultimately eat into corporate profit margins because they raise prices for many of their goods that they're buying. And you know, that eventually trickles down to consumer and may hurt to consumers and may hurt demand. So I think despite the current strength, and maybe we'll end up with another very strong season, it's still early days to say, but I think we'd rather be more on the defensive side. And if we see highly cyclical stocks that or sectors that depend very much on imports do well, we'd be rather inclined to reduce exposure to those and get a more defensive posture in areas of the markets which are less dependent on the international trade.
Thank you so much, Mikio. That was Mikio Kumada, global strategist with LGT Capital Partners in Hong Kong. We'll be back with a deeper look at some of the top business stories of the day. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.